thank you for tuning in to the radio ministry of Clearview Church. At Clearview, our focus is making Christ visible and providing an atmosphere of worship and community. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abadan Shah.
Nature has a way of reviving you. Would you agree with that? Get outside, get with nature as a way of bringing life. It refreshes you. But nature cannot give you life. In fact, nothing and no one can bring to you life. Only God can do that. You may feel refreshed. You may feel like, man, you know, I've been so busy working so hard, and just getting out here, it just brings life into you. But we're talking about feeling refreshed. No one can resurrect you. And I'm not talking about physical resurrection. I'm talking more about spiritual resurrection. We're going to focus on that this morning. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Luke chapter 7 in verse 11. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. When he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And Jesus presented him to his mother. Verse 16. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has come among us, and God has visited his people." Question this morning for all of us: what do you believe about Jesus? When he raised the dead, some called him a prophet. Some said that God has come down and is visiting his people. What exactly do you believe about Jesus? What do you call him? He raised the physically dead to life, as you saw in that dramatization, which is amazing, but the greater miracle is when he raised the spiritually dead to life, and he is still raising them today. Question this morning to all of us is this: has he raised you and you and you spiritually? You see, if he hasn't done that, you're lost. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. You need eternal life that only comes through Jesus Christ. When we think about dead people coming to life, we expect the Bible to be chock full of them. We expect that every page we turn, oh, there it is again, and there it is again, and there it is again. But if you study the Bible carefully, would you like to know how many times there are actual recorded instances of dead people coming to life? Only 10. 3 in the Old Testament and the 7 in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the 3, 1 was done by Elijah the prophet, and 2 were done by Elisha the prophet. Go to the New Testament, only 7. 3 recorded, done by Jesus. 1 each by Peter and Paul. And then the rest of the 2 are one of Jesus himself rising from the grave. And the last one is of when Jesus rose from the grave, many other saints also rose from the grave. That's it. Seven miracles. Now, think about these miracles for a moment. The three miracles that Jesus did, the first is the son of the widow from Nain. We're going to look at that in just a few moments. The second is the daughter of Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue. Where was the synagogue? Some obscure place, maybe Capernaum, on the western shores of Galilee. The third miracle, of course, is Lazarus that Jesus raised from the grave from Bethany. Now, pay attention to this. Only three recorded miracles. Now, Jesus did say that he raised many dead to life, but it's only three main ones. And guess what? None of them were done in Jerusalem, where you could have the biggest audience. None of them were done on some special occasion where more people could see that Jesus, wow, what a miracle worker, he raised the dead to life. In fact, Jesus did these miracles in obscure small villages and towns. And by the way, in the first two miracles, Jesus did not want to make much fuss about the fact that he raised a dead person to life. In fact, in the second miracle, we're going to look at that in a few weeks from now, where Jesus raised Jairus' daughter to life, he actually told them on his way out, do not tell anyone. Why didn't Jesus let them spread the word? Here is the Son of God. Here is this man who raises the dead to life. Can you imagine what people would have done if that would have become the main focus of his ministry? Every time there was a funeral, they would be like, get them close to Jesus. If we can just get close to Jesus, I'll get my father back. I'll get my son back. I'll get my brother back. I'll get my sister back. Let's get... And can you imagine some people? Even if their relatives were dead and buried for months and years, they would dig up those bones and try to touch Jesus with it. He did not come to bring the physically dead to life. Jesus came to bring the spiritually dead to life. You say, man, physically dead, that's important too. Think for a moment. The three recorded instances, the widow's son, Jairus' daughter, Lazarus. Jesus simply prolonged the inevitable, because one day all of them had to die again. Why did Jesus come? He came to bring you life which was everlasting, so that when you get on the other side, you never have to die again. So why did Jesus do this particular miracle? Listen again to verse 12. When he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out. Let me quickly point out the reason why this took place near the gate of the city. In those days, when someone died, they would bury them outside the city limits. Cemeteries were considered to be unclean. So you did not have graves in your backyard or churchyard or any of those yards. You had to go outside. It was unclean. So this was an encounter which was kind of expected. More than likely, this person had died maybe a couple of hours earlier, or maybe that morning, because again, in that culture, they would not let a body stay overnight. You say, why? Because of decomposition. I mean, nowadays, you know, people preserve the body. I've even done funerals a week or 2 weeks later because they were waiting for the families to come. But in those days, someone could have died maybe at 4 o'clock in the evening. By 5:30, 6, they're actually taking him to be buried. It was happening immediately. So can you imagine? I mean, it is hard over here. I've done many funerals, and it's always sad to me that once someone passes away, immediately you have to go and pick out a coffin, go to the funeral home, make arrangements, call the pastor, get all these things. You don't get time to grieve. Is that right? I mean, it's just like, we got to get all these things. And then, that as wonderful as it is, the visitation and the viewing, the family has to now stand there and smile at everybody and thank them for coming. I mean, it's just so much they have to take, and it just keeps coming. and they don't get a chance to grieve. In those days, it was even worse because the person just died and we got to now take them. So keep that in mind as we're reading this passage. But pay attention to what else Luke tells us. This dead man was being carried out, who was the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Three things. Number one, she was a woman. You say, why is that important? Because back in those cultures, a woman by herself means something was not right. But the Bible tells us what was not right. She was a widow. Her husband had died. Now, a widow had to depend on her sons or her daughters because by herself she could not take care of her life, of her expenses, any of that. Something more that Luke tells us is that this young man was her only son. Only son. That makes matters even worse. Not only is the loved one who is following the coffin is a woman, but she's a widow woman. And this young man was her only son. Means that was her only hope, her only source of help in this life. And a large crowd from the city was with her. Maybe they came not for the woman, but because the young man must have been a prominent person. Maybe he was an athlete. Maybe he was an important person in the synagogue. What I've often noticed at funerals is, on the way out, people will say something like this, "Don't worry, we'll be here for you." What happens typically? Once the funeral is over, people are gone. And it feels like no one is there. Keep these things in mind. Luke is a physician. He is a doctor. Do you think he has seen death before? Of course he has. He is putting these details in the passage for a reason, to prepare us for what is about to come. Jesus, being God, knows all this. No one has to walk up to him and say, "Okay, Jesus, just to kind of give you an update on what's coming up, there's a funeral procession, there's a woman, widow, only son, and looks like this crowd is not for her, it's more for the young man." No, he is God. He knows instantly what is happening. So listen to what happens in verse 13. "When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Do not weep.'" Jesus felt the pain that this woman was going through. He was not detached. He was not like, "Well, I'm here to save people from their sins." When he saw this woman crying and weeping, and he knew the whole backstory, he had compassion. The Bible is literally his heart went out to her. His internal organs went out to her. It's like his heart was broken to see her suffer. The point I'm making here is this. Jesus did not do this miracle which he's about to do to show his power, to prove that he was the Son of God. He did it because I feel for her. We believe in a God who cares for us. We have a God who actually cares. His heart is broken every time he sees someone suffering and crying or going through some loss in their life. I don't know what loss that you have been through. I don't know what pain that you've gone through. Maybe you've lost someone through death. Maybe you've lost some relationship. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you've lost finances. Maybe you've lost your health. Just know, please listen to my words and let them stay in your mind and your heart. We have a God who does care for you. Satan will tell you that God doesn't care. God does care. But there's something else here that I don't want us to miss. When the Lord saw her. You know, the Greek word Lord is actually the word kurios, which comes from the Greek word kuros, which means authority. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not here to teach you Greek. I'm not here to impress you with my knowledge. I'm really trying to get to a point. The word kurios means someone in authority. It means someone in control, someone who is a master. an owner or someone superior. We often have a very poor understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said to him. What does the word Lord mean? Someone with authority. When the Lord, when the one with authority saw her, he had compassion on her. Have you ever been in a situation? Maybe your plane tickets got messed up, or you purchased some service and the service didn't turn out like you wanted it to be, and you have to go to the front desk. You have to go to the person up there and you say, hey, right here, this is what we're supposed to get and this is not happening. And they are all fidgety and they're just like, I don't know. I can find out. What do you say? Is there someone in charge here? There's a crowd coming out of the city. There's a crowd coming with Jesus. None of them are in charge because death is beyond our control. But someone in charge walks up. He stops the funeral procession. Isn't that amazing? Now, if that were to happen today, you would have either the funeral director or the police or the sheriff or whoever is there as the escort will say, sir, would you come with me? And if they don't, it's like, you know, they'll pull him away. That's never happened in any funeral I've done. But we would know what to take care of them. Jesus, with authority, walks up, stops the whole procession. Let's go back to that word kurios for a couple more minutes. When the Jewish people translated the Hebrew Old Testament into Greek, every time they came across the word Yahweh, Yahweh is the name for God, 6,000 times they came across the word Yahweh and they translated it Kurios, Lord. And over 500 times when they came across the word Adonai, which is another name for God, they again translated that word Kurios. Stay with me. Luke is writing this gospel to the Gentiles who knew what the word kurios meant. It meant someone in authority, and also they would apply that to their gods. But if the Jewish person was reading, he would also know this is not just the Lord as in the man in charge. They know this is a reference to God. What he's saying is, as death is passing by and people are weeping and hurting, God walks up with complete authority. Jesus is God. You know, some of us might be surprised what we think about Jesus. We may think Jesus represents God. Jesus came to show us God. Jesus is a reflection of God. Folks, Jesus is God. Jesus is the second person of the Godhead, co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He is God. And he walks in on a desperate situation where death has taken a loved one and someone is hurting. What happens next? Listen to verse 14. As I was saying, he came and touched the open coffin. You know what Jesus was doing? He was doing something that was unclean. In those days, to touch a cadaver or a corpse or a coffin, immediately you are unclean. This man walks up with full authority, stops the procession, tells the mom, don't cry, and then goes and touches the coffin. What do you think he was saying? He was saying what Paul says in Romans 14:9. Now listen carefully to those words. Paul said, for to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. You know what he was doing? He was making a statement. Not only you belong to me, that this dead body and every dead body in the world, they're all mine. I am the Lord of both the living and the dead. What a powerful statement. Now, I want you to hear the words of authority. They're on the screen. I wouldn't be able to do that, would you? Walk up to a dead body and say, all right, get up. I mean, so much is riding on you now. What if the body doesn't move? But he walks up and he says, young man, I say to you, arise. What happens? So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. Now, can you feel the authority? Can you feel the power of Jesus in that miracle? Get up. He not only gets up, but he actually begins to speak to the people. The Bible doesn't tell us what he said. He probably coughed first, get all the cobwebs out of his mouth. Who knows? But he says something. Now, why are those words important? Because this was no illusion. This was not some Las Vegas trick like, hey, watch my hand. There you go. It's gone. This was real deal. This was not some evil magic. This was not some seance where you're trying to communicate with the dead. This man is actually making coherent statements. And he presented him to his mother. Now I want you to see the response of the people. This is powerful. Then fear came upon all. I mean, of course, why not? Have you ever seen a funeral where somebody walks up with authority and says, get up, and the body gets up and starts speaking? Of course, I'd be scared. I'd be running for my life. And people are scared. Like, oh my goodness. But I want you to pay attention to their response. They glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen among us. What? You say, well, no, the next statement is better. And God has visited his people. You know, they were not saying Jesus is God. What they were saying is, oh, that reminds me of those miracles in the Bible where Elijah and Elisha raised dead people to life. That's an amazing prophet. Oh my goodness, God has sent us a prophet. If I were writing the Gospel of Luke at that point, I would insert a statement like, and Jesus rolled his eyes as he walked away. Folks, he didn't do that miracle to prove that he was a prophet. Muslims believe that Jesus is a prophet of God, of Allah. That doesn't make him saved. Believing that Jesus is a prophet of God is nothing. You know, little knowledge is dangerous. Have you heard that statement? Little knowledge is dangerous. Because if they had compared the way Elijah and Elisha did the miracle of raising the dead to life to the way Jesus did the miracle of raising the dead to life, they would realize there is absolutely no comparison. Now, both miracles came from God. How did Elijah raise the dead person to life? He got there and he laid over the body, and somehow God used that process to bring life into that dead person. It was a real miracle, but he had to lie over the body, stretch out. How did Elisha do the miracle? Same way. How about the third miracle in the Old Testament? Elisha's dead bones touched the bones of this person in this grave, and it brought him to life. I mean, there is no comparison with a man walking up, stopping the funeral procession and saying, don't cry, get up. All they could say was, man, that reminds me of Elijah. That reminds me of Elisha. Must be that God has sent us a prophet. Folks, this is the reason why God did not raise too many dead people to life, because that didn't bring them to him. Why doesn't God go around raising the dead today? He would only be delaying the inevitable. Number two, people will still misunderstand who he is. You know what the real miracle God wants to do in your life? Is not raising you from a grave, a physical grave, to a physical life. The real miracle is this. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 24. Listen, I want you to follow along with me as I read every line of that verse. Listen, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. Hears my word and believes that God the Father has sent me, says Jesus. That's how you're going to have everlasting life. That's how you're going to rise from a spiritual grave to everlasting resurrection. Something else he says, and shall not come into judgment, but y'all help me finish this line, but has passed from death into life. This is why Jesus came. Not to go around raising corpses to die again and people to still not believe that he is God's Son who came to give eternal life. Jesus came for this purpose, to take you from death to eternal life. Listen to what else he says in verse 25. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. I believe many are dead, even in church this morning. You've heard sermons. You are a member. You've been baptized. You do good things. You give. But you've never heard the voice of the Son of God. You are still spiritually decomposing. To receive the resurrection is in that moment you see Christ, not a preacher, not a Bible, not a something else. You hear Christ. And you know something has happened. Life begins to flow through you. And you know that you have been born from above. Paul affirms this. I want you to hear what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. Remember how Jesus, when he saw that woman hurting, he had compassion. But this is about the spiritual resurrection. God, who is rich in compassion, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Now here's the formula. By grace, you have been saved. Every person who comes into this world comes dead in trespasses and sins. No amount of good works, no amount of community involvement, and I'm trying to help people, can ever take you from spiritual death to spiritual life. Well, we say, how about little babies? I mean, what happens if something happens and they die? What do you do with that? Well, the Bible tells us again and again that God's grace covers them. So if something does happen to them before they can accept Christ as their Savior, God in His grace takes them up and they are fine, they're saved. But when that same baby grows up and reaches the age of accountability, now that child has a responsibility to make Christ his or her Savior. You are born dead in trespasses, but you are made alive together in Christ by grace. What does that mean by grace? It means you cannot do anything to save yourself. You are dead. Can I ask you this morning, how much did the young man help Jesus bring him back to life? He didn't do nothing. He just laid in that open coffin. By grace. Grace means God says, you can't do anything, but I will do something for you that you can't do for yourself. Have you had this spiritual resurrection? You can have it. Today, if you hear the word and receive Jesus as your Savior, are you disappointed with God because He did not do a certain miracle for your life? Are you disappointed because He did not save someone from death or did not bring someone who died to life, some miraculous way that life would come and it would all rapidly and radically change? Are you disappointed with God? God's desire is not to delay the inevitable. His desire is to save you with everlasting life. Jesus is a life giver. Jesus did not come to, soothe your temporary hurt. He came to answer your eternal need. Give your heart to Christ and be saved.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Jesus is the life giver, not only during his earthly ministry, but in our lives today, bringing us out of spiritual death into new life in him. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadonshaw.com.